Sometimes in life we just suffer. Sometimes it's from being totally withdrawn, or so much stress that we are totally anxious, or so tired that we are totally burnt out. But our current position is not our final destination. No, indeed. There's hope. So whether it's your personal life, your career, your relationship, your business, or your job, we say there's reason to believe again. And we present from Andy's Personal Development, the Breakout Room. It's the place for health, happiness, and prosperity. Stay tuned for more. Hey, and welcome. This is Andy, your guest and your partner in the three things that we project every time in the Breakout Room: health, happiness, and prosperity. And today is not any different. We have a special guest who's going to be sharing with us some vital information, some wonderful and amazing nuggets with regards how we can have a healthy, happy, and prosperous life. So let's introduce him. His name is Jeremy B. Shapiro, and this episode is entitled Entrepreneurial Freedom with Jeremy B. Shapiro. So, he is a serial entrepreneur and facilitator of the Bay Area Mastermind. He's also a mentor and a coach to entrepreneurs. And Jeremy, since 1998, has been helping entrepreneurs discover the core strengths in themselves and in their business and realize their true potential, combining passion and expertise to grow their businesses and attain the freedom they deserve. Sounds like something we should hear about, right? So without further ado, let's welcome to the program our guest, Jeremy B. Shapiro. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here with us. And we have had a lovely little chat before we began this live stream, and I'm really looking forward to this episode as we continue. Welcome again to the Breakout Room. Jeremy, when people hear the name Jeremy B. Shapiro, what is the one thing that you want to stand out as your legacy that they would always remember and never forget?
Now, I think a big piece of that comes down to, you know, you've heard the phrase like living life your way, right? Yeah. And that's something I've taken to heart, especially like in the world of business, right? A business can be there to support you in the life that you want to create, right? And so for family to think of me as living on my terms and being there for them and with them, for clients, for customers, for the community, and so on, to see that is really big. And that's something I've been helping business owners to do for decades as well. It's interesting when you ask about sort of, you know, how you want to be seen. Before my wife and I started our family, we traveled extensively. We've lived around the world. We've been able to work from wherever. It's been fantastic. And then once we decided to start a family, that's when people started saying and in sharing the advice of like, well, I hope you enjoy date nights. I hope you enjoyed your traveling and hosting parties and doing all these great things, because that's about to change. And a funny thing happened. Once we actually started our family, we still had wonderful parties and friends over. We still traveled extensively, had full passports for the kids and everything. And slowly those friends changed that mindset and realized that even though we were expanding our family and having young kids and everything else, the things that were important to us for getting out for bike rides, for traveling, for hiking, for any of these things, we still did. My wife and I still got out for date nights every week. We still traveled the globe. We still had wonderful life experiences. Just now we got to do it with some wonderful little people in our life too. And so that to me, I think really exemplifies to what your question is, you know, living your life on your own terms and creating the life that you want, not just following a preset path.
Yeah, I love the connotation there of the thought process with regards to the freedom, being able to do the things, the date nights, the vacations, and having it with special people that are really meaningful to you. That makes these moments even more memorable and precious. I appreciate that. How do you get folks to recognize the huge difference between a business owner and an entrepreneur? What's the difference between the two? Yeah.
So there's a within the world of business, right? We all know what it's like to be an entrepreneur, to be an employee somewhere with a job. And that's fine. And what many folks do is they venture out from being an employee and decide to start their own business. And that's great. Usually when you start your business, you're for quite a while, even as you build up a team, you're often still self-employed. Now, in terms of being a true business owner, that's a big step. And the litmus test that I like to use to see where you are on that spectrum is to close your eyes for a moment and think about your business and imagine what it would be like if you stepped away for a day or a week or a month or even 3 months from your business. Would you come back to a business that was the same as where it is now, better? Or would you have a dumpster fire and be out of business in a day?
Yeah.
For so many business owners, the business can't survive without them, even for a day or two. So when we start looking at how self-sustaining your business is and how much time you can step away from your business, then we start getting into the world of how much of a business owner are you really? The business is built of the systems and the people to run those systems. It's not just about you and you being part of that 24/7.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. So what are some, I'm seeing the term here tactical, but I want to use a term that is more realistic. What are some practical ways that people can create a business that does not demand them being there all the time for it to be successful?
You know, I had a client I was doing some work with, and when we met up, he had a successful business, right? He was actively selling into retail businesses, and they had a system from him. And he was obviously, like most of us are in a business, proud of his product and had his name behind that. Uh-huh. What this meant is he wanted to take care of his customers, which is wonderful. We all want that. But with it being a one-person operation, anytime a phone call came in, that meant that his customers couldn't process transactions for their customers. So he wanted to make sure they were taken care of really quickly. And that's fantastic. The problem is he also loved to go mountain biking, hiking, enjoying the great outdoors and so on, where there often wasn't cell phone coverage. Wow. And so not only wasn't he sleeping well from that stress of having to be available for his customers all the time, he wasn't enjoying the outdoors, something that brought him mental wellness and health. He wasn't enjoying the physical activities he loved that brought him the physical health. And he was missing not only all these great benefits that came with getting away from the business, he was actually getting a lot of the downside of being stuck and imprisoned by your own business. Yeah. So in a situation like that, the first step is to figure out what are the processes for support and then hiring someone to handle that frontline support. As soon as he did that, he got back time that he could reinvest in his business, time he could use on sales to grow the business, time he can use on planning and visioning for the business, and also time he could use away from the business. So when you think about the business you want to launch or about scaling up your business, think about it from the context of if you were going to invest or buy into a business, not as the operator, but as an owner, and what that business would look like. And then you can start building the business around that. You see, a business can only go in one of three directions. Your business can just close, right? You close up shop. That's what happens to most every business out there. Mm-hmm. It has a time and then, you know, winds down and closes. You can pass it on to your kids, but let's be honest, what was the last business you knew about where someone got a business from their family or passed it on to their kids? It's pretty unusual these days.
Yeah, yeah.
The last option is you can sell your business. But how do you sell your business if the business is only you or dependent upon you? So when you shift that framework to building a business that you can sell, then you start thinking about systems and the people to operate the business so it doesn't block on you. then you have a saleable asset. Then you have a cash flow producing asset, which produces income for you, creates time for you, and is liquid in that you can sell it.
Yeah, I love it. And again, the emphasis is on time. Thank you so much for sharing, Jeremy. We appreciate it. For the people that you have mentored and those that you have coached, what are some of the challenges that they come to you with that you have seen that they are struggling with? And how do you help them to deal with those challenges?
Yeah, when we have folks come and test drive one of our mastermind groups, we have a process where you can apply to actually join us for a full day and experience a mastermind group firsthand, not like just a fly on the wall, but as an active participant. And right. So through our test drive process, we get to meet prospective members who are interested in joining the group and hear what those blocks and those challenges are, right? So the challenges I've seen fall into a few different buckets. One can be some of those mindset challenges or those self-limiting beliefs, right? One of those is, and maybe some of our listeners can identify with this, is the perfectionist attitude, right? If you view everything has to be perfect and only you can do things as well as you can and nobody else can, you've built a prison around yourself, right? And so once we can free you from that mindset, so you are able to hire people to do work to a standard that you're proud of and that it doesn't need you, you have systems and people getting the same result that you were getting without it blocking on you. But that's only once you come around to believing that there are people out there who can do work as well as you can, if not better than you can. And that's really powerful. One of the other challenges that we see is these plateaus. Business tends to grow in S curves. So we tend to have sort of flatline or very small, steady growth. And then we hit some inflection point. You get that hockey stick curve, right? But what no one talks about with the hockey stick curves is what happens at the top. It doesn't go on forever. Those go up and flatten back out. So you get that S-shaped curve. Now, our goal is to not only plan for those curves with strategic planning, but stack those S-curves up. So when you get to the top of one, it's the bottom of the next and you get to keep going up. But that comes from careful planning versus dumb luck or stumbling upon a random lucky success. Right, but actual planning. And the second thing that requires is that you have the resources you need to help you figure out what that next S is. For a lot of business owners, we are entrepreneurs and business owners because we see opportunity, right? We see an opportunity out there. We realize we can do something about it. And then the third piece, the most important one, is we actually do something about that. Right. So yeah. We see opportunities, we feel empowered to fix them, and then we go ahead and do that. That's why we have businesses. Right. So we want to apply that same methodology internally within our own business and be looking for those opportunities. But at some point, most everyone hits a plateau or a wall and gets stuck. And that's usually when they find me. They want to get unstuck and break through from a plateau or a wall in their business. And so when we look at, you know, what's missing in the business, the third party perspective is really valuable. You see, we all know what we know, our area of expertise, our superpowers, right? We also generally have an idea of what we don't know. These are the things we want to learn. These are the big burning questions we have and so on. But the real opportunity, again and again, in life, in business and elsewhere, is in that third area. The things we don't know that we don't know. And when you're around others in a mastermind environment, you're hearing from other business owners and like-minded entrepreneurs about what's working for them, what's not working for them, and where they need help. And so when you get that behind-the-scenes look at other businesses and what's really going on, you get exposure to all kinds of new ideas. And that's where we see those big aha moments. You see that smile go across the face, the eyes go wide, the notes getting scribbled, the light bulbs going off. It's when others are sharing during their dedicated member hot seats in the mastermind. That's when everyone else is getting ideas. And so we talk about golden nuggets and being on the lookout for these golden nuggets during everyone's presentation. And they're there. That's where new businesses get launched. That's where businesses pivot. And that's where our biggest breakthroughs happen again and again.
Yeah, wonderful. That is a lot of details there, but we thank you so much for giving that imposition on some of the challenges that you see from the people that come to you and when they come to you. When I look at history, Jeremy, I see guys like the late Henry Ford. And I think about, as an industrialist, even though he recognized that he had the ideas to start the business, he gave credit to the continuation of the business to other persons, the engineers, the people with the marketing vision, the people with the public relations vision. And what he did was he created a team that he gave the resources to bring to fruition the vision that he had for the success of the company. He understood the power of designating. He understood the power of giving people the opportunity to reach their full potential, but at the same time, making a contribution to the greater whole. When you do your mastermind projects, how much of that particular way of doing business, where it's not just, I say you do, but let's all do together, heading in the same direction, is injected into that process so that people realize they have got to designate not only authority, but people with the ability to exercise that authority so that the whole vision then becomes much more attainable as a result of that approach.
Yeah, what you're referring to there is not just delegation, but empowerment. Right? So you want to hire people who can do the jobs that you're doing in the business now better than you can. And you want to empower them and imbue them with that authority to execute on that.
That's right.
When my wife and I started our family, about 3 months in, we decided to start sharing the news with, you know, friends, family, and also my, you know, my team at the business. So when I shared that news on one of our team calls, there was, of course, all the normal congratulations. But then my team asked how much time I was going to be taking off. Now, I've always worked for myself. I've always had a flexible schedule. And I just, you know, I knew I just do whatever I needed to do and it wouldn't be a problem. But they reminded me how important it was to take off time, especially with a newborn and starting a family, now being a family of three, and then, you know, years later, family of four. And I hadn't given much thought to how much time I would take off, but they encouraged me to really do that. Once we had that conversation, the very next thing they said was the list of what we needed to do over the next 6 months. So they shared, here are the systems we need. Here's the documentation we need. Here are the hires we need to make. And they felt empowered with the right authority to direct that process and then oversee the hiring and training and management of that. The end result of this, Andy, is I was able to actually step back and be unplugged from the business for 3 months. Like no email, no messages, no texts, none of that.
Right.
And came back 3 months later to find the business in a better position than when I left it. And that's only possible because of an empowered team with the authority and the systems to run a business. And 2.5 years later, when we had our son, we did the same thing again. And it was, you know, now it's become a little more comfortable and regular to be able to step away for an extended period of time and know that the team can run things well. So yes, to your question, that kind of conversation comes up frequently at the mastermind, especially for folks on the smaller side business-wise who are hiring that first, maybe third person within the organization. Yeah. After you get to a handful of team members, it becomes a little more, you know, every day to be hiring, training, managing, and so on. But it's a really important topic.
Yeah, wonderful. I have been my own employee or employer / both of them for the past 22 years. And I understand the concept because for me, the importance of staying around long enough and having that separation between business and me had a lot to do with me being able to designate empowered people, as you say, and give them the opportunity to be empowered more.
Yeah.
Now, when you show that kind of confidence in people, Jeremy, guess what's going to happen? They're going to take on added responsibilities for themselves without even asking.
Yeah.
So I understand the concept. I appreciate that. In terms of rebranding, and let me give you a practical example. We just beginning to understand what it's like to go through a pandemic, and some people had to start businesses all over again. Jeremy, it has been really tough for a lot of people. And worldwide, we were put in a place where we didn't even know how we're going to get back on our feet again. Someone comes to you in that similar scenario, they've plateaued or they've reached a place where they realize the business isn't going as it used to or as we expected to. Projections are not being met and stuff. And we need to do something. We need to either rebrand or change the model. What kind of advice can you give to them that would at least give them the opportunity to think that there's hope?
Yeah. So what's nice about having been, you know, involved with so many entrepreneurs over the years is you start to see the themes and the patterns. And I love identifying those common threads.
Right.
Because that allows us to address things more broadly versus specifically with one particular business. And that allows us to create frameworks and systems. So one of the frameworks I came up with years ago is, you know, I call it the FAQs to increasing profitability in your business. So in any business you have, what we like to have is levers, things that we can put in an input and get a different output. Because usually when we're stuck, it's because we're doing the same thing and getting the same result over again, and we don't like it. But then we just keep doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. So we've got to change something. And so to your question, it's, well, what do you change? How do you shift that? And so we can look at any one of those three levers and adjust that in our business, and we can change the profitability of the business, right? So I'll give you an example of one of those, right? So the F in FAQs is for frequency. We look at the frequency of transactions with a customer. So if in your business, you transact with a customer one time and then never again, well, there's some lost opportunity there. Your best customers are usually the ones who've already transacted with you. Right. So the question is, how do you do more business with people you've already transacted with? And there's a number of ways you can do that, right? One is you increase your product offerings, so you have additional product lines to offer to your existing customers, right? Another is you can bring in third-party offers, so you can have you can do some affiliate marketing of things that are congruent with your list and your customers of companies, services, et cetera, that you believe in. In fact, one of my very first businesses only started to grow because I had somebody else in the industry come to me and ask how she could help me grow and how she could market my business to all of her customers. And that was tremendous. We got a ton of mutual business from that simply because somebody else wanted to promote me to her customers. And then I realized I should do the same thing and offered to do the same. And we both benefited greatly from that, right? So you can increase the offerings to your customers. Another way you can increase the frequency on this, Indiana, and I love this, is look for ways to add continuity into your business. That can be in the form of a subscription program, an online course, right? A membership model where there's some sort of recurring benefit they get, a paid community. There's all sorts of ways that you're able to get folks into a program where they pay you ongoing cash flow every single month to get ongoing value from you every single month. And so these are all different ways that we can add it, we can increase the frequency that a customer transacts with you. And that's just one of those three levers. So if you're feeling stuck, getting that third-party insight from a peer advisory group like a mastermind is really helpful, because you'll see others who have applied these strategies in their business and they see the opportunity in your business that you might not see yet, because it falls in that category of what you didn't know you didn't know.
Yeah, I love that. So I have some likes and some loves. We'd love very much for you guys to give your thoughts, but I've got some insights and a question here. First of all, let me show you very great insights. Thank you for sharing. That's from Anthony Maruri, my associate. But I love this question, Jeremy, and he's asking, how can one achieve that frequency with podcast guests?
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw that question come up, and you know, and there are a few ways to interpret that. So, Anthony, feel free to post another question here if I'm not quite dialed in right. So, if we're looking at how do we increase those touch points with guests who come onto your podcast, I'm going to assume that's what you mean, unless you correct me here. There's a number of things you can do. You can have a community for your podcast guests that after they come onto a show, they can all connect with each other afterwards and be part of that community, right? That's one way that they're able to connect. When you have a guest come back onto the show to go deeper, to explore a different topic, et cetera. That's another touch point. But when we're talking about the frequency within those FAQs, right, we're talking about the frequency of paid transactions with a customer. So when someone's paying you, how you get them to then come back and pay again, right? So one example in like a brick and mortar retail store is, or even an online e-commerce store, is you have a rewards program. So someone gets points when they shop with you. That then means there's money burning a hole in their wallet that they can only use when they come back and buy from you again, right? Wow. When you send out a follow-up promotion to your customers with a coupon to come back into the store, or we've all been to a restaurant where with your bill, they give you a coupon to use on your next visit, right? Anytime a business is doing something to bring you back into the business, they're looking to increase that frequency of transactions. So ask yourself, can you put a rewards program in place for your business, right? Can you provide an offer that when you provide your services or product to a customer the first time, you have an offer for future transactions? If you look at, I think it was Gillette or one of those razor companies, their whole business model is not around the actual shavers, right? They don't make much money on that. The money comes from those replaceable blades.
Yeah.
And they know once you buy the one product, you are forever a customer buying the rest of those blades. You look at like a Keurig coffee machine or one of the Nespressos, right? The business is in the fact that you've bought a proprietary system and you are now going to buy their products again and again and again so you can have your coffee or whatever else it is. The same model applies to those the soda streams, right? You buy a piece of hardware and you're forever buying the disposable, reusable pieces to be a long-term customer. And so when you build your business with that in mind, you can increase the frequency that your customers transact with you, even if that's in the form of having a podcast and creating a community for them to come back after the fact, or for podcast guests to have something they buy from you after the fact, if it makes sense, and so on.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing, Jeremy. I think there's some wonderful insights there and some great nuggets that certainly, I believe, has answered the question to a large extent. We appreciate it. So in terms of your mentorship programs and the people that you coach, you work with certain systems, you have the mastermind projects and so on. What does the future look like in terms of growth and development and the vision that you have for the people that would eventually come to you in the future?
Yeah, I love that question because so often people lose sight of that vision. It's so easy as a small business owner to be stuck in that day-to-day part of your business, right? We have an ever-growing mountain in front of us of tasks to do. And it's really easy to lose sight of all that you've accomplished, right? We are entrepreneurs because we see the opportunities, we want to do something about it. So we create that ever-growing mountain of to-dos in front of us. So when you surround yourself with like-minded individuals who are there to support you and celebrate your successes, we can help you to look back and recognize all that you have accomplished to get where you are today and do that every single month in the mastermind meeting. And that helps to have those people, your cheerleaders around you, to acknowledge you and understand and appreciate all that you've done. But the other piece in terms of looking forward is having a definition of success, right? Mm. If we don't know what success looks like for us in life, in business, or anywhere, right? Then how do you know when you've gotten there? You can get stuck in the cycle of forever needing more and more and more. And many business owners think what they want to do is change the world and be the company that everyone on this planet uses. Maybe you don't need that. Maybe you don't need to be a decacorn company with a tens of billions of dollar valuation. Mm. Maybe that's not going to get you what you're looking for in life. But when you figure out what that definition of success is, then you can know if you're off mark or if you've met it. And then you don't need to try and exceed that. So I like to flip the paradigm of looking at the business as an income producing asset that supports you in your life and whatever it is that you're trying to do. And you can still have mission and vision and purpose within your business because you should be doing what you love. We all have the same destination in life. We're all ending up in the same place here. So why don't we be more intentional about how we spend the years we have here on this earth?
Yeah.
No one's ever on their deathbed saying, I wish I spent more time in my business, right? That's never, no one's saying that. Think about what they're saying in that moment. They're wishing they had more time with their family and loved ones, that they'd done more in their community, that they'd focused more on spirituality, giving back, any of these different things. So whatever you think might be important later in life, or you hear from those who are older and wiser than us, maybe look at how you can have those in your life now, how the business can support you on your journey to get there. And then we can work towards that definition of success. But almost all the time, that what that comes down to is needing to get that entrepreneurial freedom. When you hit entrepreneurial freedom, you can choose how you spend your time, who you spend your time with, and what you're doing. And that gives you that freedom to invest more time in your business, to work with just the clients or customers you want to work with, to put that time into your community or with family or pursuing hobbies or passions or any of these things, instead of sacrificing all of those to build a business with no vision of what the end looks like.
Wow. Now, you have struck a nerve there, because there was a time when I experienced burnout. And I'm telling you, Jeremy, no one in their right minds really wants to experience burnout. Not in life, not in business, not in career, not in anything that you have invested time and resources in. And so the question that I want to look at is, how do we get that thin line separated between the attachment that we give to the business and the one that we give to ourselves? Because if we don't take care of this, the man in the mirror can't take care of the business. And then what happens? It all falls apart. But I've seen a lot of people after me and around me suffer with the same burnout, Jeremy. They just didn't know how to separate that thin line. And to extend the point a little bit, the values that they have, they place the values so much more on the business than on creating a better version of themselves. And to some people, that may sound really deep and philosophical, but it's important. Why? Because if the business fail, what do you fall back on?
Right.
If you didn't have values for yourself and built you and take care of the man in the mirror, what do you fall back on? So how do we get folks to recognize that there are some things that we can do that can give us the opportunity to take care of self and at the same time take care of the business to avoid unnecessary burnout?
Yeah, there's been this really toxic hustle mentality that's come out in the past number of years, which I'm trend-wise, I'm thankfully starting to see a bit of a backlash to that, which is good, right? The hustle mentality is this really toxic mindset that while you're sleeping, your competition is out there outperforming and outgrowing you and taking your customers. And every minute you're not spent, that you don't spend building your business, the competition is taking your customers away. And it's this really fear-based scarcity mindset that's so toxic, because it drives you to this belief that you need to work a 26-hour day, 8 days a week, or you won't have a business. That is a really dangerous recipe for burnout, right? When my wife and I first met and we were, we're out on our first date, I remember I would glance at my cell phone and check, like, oh, did a client text me? Oh, I have to take this phone call. And I don't think we got halfway through the meal before I was looking across the table at this wonderful woman and then over at my cell phone. And I realized, what am I doing? Why am I jeopardizing this magical, wonderful moment with who is my wife now? Here we are 20 years later. And, had I decided to be focused on the phone and the clients who might need me in that moment, what might that have cost me? Right. And instead, I still remember that evening perfectly, of realizing this was not a good idea to be that available to clients. And so I put the phone away. And from that moment forward, I had business hours. And if it was after hours, I wasn't taking client calls or checking my emails. The next morning, I would get back to them. And my clients quickly learned that there was times that I was available and times that I was not. And they actually respected that. And I was then able to put my time towards getting to know this wonderful person. And I'm so glad that I did. And so when we start to put those boundaries on how we spend our time, when we leave our laptop in the office, right? When we charge the cell phone in a different room, when we make time to actively disconnect from the business, it lets us actively connect with what's right in front of us. And so if you find yourself, you know, at a meal with your family on your cell phone the whole time, ask yourself, if you look back, is that how you would have wanted to have spent the time? You know, even when we have, you know, dinner parties or go out to, you know, social dinners with friends, we have the rule of one Google. You get, you know, conversations come up and nowadays everyone wants to pull out their phone and just look up an answer. Well, isn't it nicer to have a conversation about something with the people versus getting lost in your phone? So usually when I'm out at business dinner things with, you know, other entrepreneurs, sometimes we put the pile of phones in the middle of the table, just stack them all up. And first person to touch the pile pays for dinner, right? If you need to reach out there and get it, well, that costs you. And socially with friends, what we'll do is you get that one Google. One time you get to take your phone out and look something up or check something, but otherwise, just be fully present with those who are around you. That's the stuff that recharges us, that rejuvenates us. If you're not taking care of that man in the mirror, like you said, Andy, how can you expect to be a good spouse or a good parent or a good employer, a good business owner, right? Yeah. You can't do those things if you're not taking care of that person in front of you. That means good sleep, good health, good fitness, good wellness, good choices, so you can fully show up everywhere else in your life and be fully present.
Yeah. So I'm getting some really strong vibes here. So the first thing I think that you really focus on is take time to set boundaries. Secondly, take time to prioritize the importance of things in your life. And third, discipline yourself to observe both of them and learn to stay in the moment. I love it. I love it. So you've been listening to Jeremy B. Shapiro, serial entrepreneur, mentor, and coach. And he's been sharing some amazing nuggets with us with regards to how you can enjoy life as an entrepreneur and at the same time build something successful that can create a long-lasting legacy. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. 27 seconds or so. Don't go anywhere, folks. Watch this now.
FindRadioGuest.com, the place to click to find guests to interview for free. And if you're a radio show booker, podcaster, talk show host, or television producer, then this is the place to get podcasts and radio interviews or promote your books and products as a guest expert sponsor. FindRadioGuest.com. Check it out.
Yeah, we're right back with Jeremy B. Shapiro, serial entrepreneur, and he's also a mentor and a coach. And this episode is entitled Entrepreneurial Freedom, something that a whole lot of people would want to have, but there's a price to pay for everything in life, right? So, Jeremy, do you have a personal mentorship program in place? And let me explain what I mean by that. You have a certain group of persons, or maybe one, that you're looking at, that you're seeing this potential in, and you're saying to yourself, the stuff that I know that are deep and meaningful to me, I can invest in that person. I can invest in this group of people because I know that long after I'm gone, it's going to continue. You have any kind of program like that in place?
Yeah. You know, so all of my work, my entire career has always been in the service of and working with entrepreneurs and founders. Right. So what I love about that is when you help others and they implement the things that you're talking about, right? There's a big difference there, right? Yes. A lot of us get, you know, we see nods or notes get taken down, but only when people implement it will they actually see change, right? The ideas don't change anything. It's the implementation of those ideas.
Right.
And so when I see clients of mine and, you know, mentees of mine actually implement what we've talked about and see change, that's so empowering, right? That lets me know that I'm leaving my mark and I'm helping others out and I'm helping others on that journey towards entrepreneurial freedom. And that's right. So powerful. I sleep better at night knowing others aren't just on that journey, but have made it there because of the conversations we've had, the advice that I've shared, or the insights that I've helped them, you know, open their eyes to.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. You know, the great Warren Buffett has one of his most famous advice is the greatest investment that you can make is the one that you make in yourself.
Yeah.
I normally would not illegally, but philosophically try to infringe on some of these sayings by saying one of the greatest investments that an entrepreneur could make is not just in himself, but in the people that he believes in as well. How important is that to the success of an entrepreneur going forward?
Well, we've all heard that quote about, you know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? So be intentional about who you spend time with.
Yeah.
What I love about mastermind groups is it's a chance for you to connect with like-minded individuals who've been there and done that and have their own superpowers and own challenges, but also your best interests at heart.
Right.
So when you get together and you're sharing about what's going on in your business, as an entrepreneur, it's lonely at the top, right? Like you have no one to share your big wins with. You have no one to share your real true challenges that you probably wouldn't talk to with most folks about. So when you get behind those closed doors of a mastermind room and you're able to share those openly and honestly in a raw form, you can get that support you need for your challenges because someone else in the room has probably been there before and experienced a similar challenge. And not only can like emotionally support you, but also has likely the professional resources you might need to get yourself out of it, right? And on the flip side, when you have big wins, it's nice to have a group who can appreciate and acknowledge and support those big successes and wins that outside of the mastermind room might sound like bragging, right? Might not come across as humble, but it creates that safe place where you can talk about a big win that you had, a big deal that you just closed, an incredible vacation of a lifetime you just took with your family, a really great extravagant experience you just indulged in because it was a bucket list item for you that most folks could never dream of doing, but you made happen, right? And you have a safe place to share that with others who support that. And there's no jealousy or envy or any of those things there. There's just love and acknowledgement and appreciation and someone who wants to ask you for that travel trip about that incredible, trip that you just took. And you get that support that you need from a community of like-minded individuals who get you, who understand the challenges you faced. When you're talking to folks who have a corporate job or a regular 9-to-5, it's hard for them to relate to what you and I do as entrepreneurs. In a room of other entrepreneurs, they get you. They've been there and they can support you. It's huge.
Yeah, wonderful. Wow. Imagine that you had a room full of young budding entrepreneurs. They haven't gotten the idea yet. They haven't even gotten the full potential of what an entrepreneur can accomplish. But they are before you, and you have the final say before they leave, and you really want to make an impact on their lives. What would you say to them?
Get out there and sell the MVP or the minimum viable product of the idea that you have. Validate your idea with actual sales from prospective customers. When you validate the idea that way, you're not doing market research, you're not asking a friend for their input, you are getting the best signal you can get that you have a good idea, which is someone purchasing it from you. And if it's got legs, develop it. And incrementally add incremental value, testing each step of the way. What I see a lot of business owners do, and this kills me, is they have an idea, they spend years and years developing what they think is the perfect product or service, only to try and sell it and realize no one's interested. And that is such a painfully backwards way of approaching it. Whereas if you go out to the market and see what they want and what they need, and then deliver what they want and they need, and they are paying you for that, you can create the thing they want and they need, and then build on that. So my advice is whatever idea you have, validate it, start actually getting some sales, and build and deliver to those customers and continue to build from there. I've bootstrapped every single one of my businesses. They've all been cash flow positive from the start without outside investment or taking on debt to launch the business. And all of those have come from validating the idea and getting someone to buy and then delivering to them after that.
Yeah. Wow. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Jeremy. So we have come to the end of this wonderful program. We just have about 34 seconds to go, but I would love to give Jeremy the opportunity to share with the audience his information, how you can make contact with him. I've helped you there, Jeremy, with some. I don't know if you have any other to share with them.
Yeah.
But what's the most effective way they can make contact with you?
The best way to find all the writing I've done, the case study stories, resources, workshops, all that's available for you. That's at the website you see there, BayAreaMastermind.com. You can, of course, find us on LinkedIn, Insta, and all those kinds of things. I spend most of my time on LinkedIn or Strava if you're a cyclist. But primarily, you'll find me over at BayAreaMastermind.com.
Okay, great. Wonderful. So there you have it, folks. Our guest, Jeremy B. Shapiro, serial entrepreneur, mentor, and coach, extremely successful. And he shared wonderful nuggets on how we can accomplish the desire that would become tangible of how you can achieve entrepreneurial freedom and enjoy the process while you're doing it as well. Until next time, this is Andy of Andy's Personal Development together with our guest, Jeremy B. Shapiro, saying so long, guys. Remember the three watchwords: health, happiness, and prosperity. Godspeed. God bless. Shalom. Bye for now.